You're listening to Wine on the Vine with Lisa Mayaka, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Mayaka, your host for Wine on the Vine. Welcome to May. Welcome to May 6th. Welcome to Thursday. And welcome to all things shameless storytelling. I am very, 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 very excited about today's show for lots of reasons. But before we get to our guest who is joining us by phone today, I have some important announcements I want to make. So for those of you listening on the road or after the fact, I want, and for those of you watching on Facebook, whether you're watching live or you're going to see the show tonight when it repeats or tomorrow on my Facebook page, or you're on LA Talk Radio and you catch up on the weekend, I want to make a really huge announcement. So LA Talk Radio is very shortly getting ready to open their studios back up. And for me, this will be my first opportunity to really sit in front of a live broadcast mic and do the show old school. And so look for that coming the end of May and the beginning of June. I'm really, really looking forward to that forum and that format. I have some very special guests planned to do in the safety of our new COVID protocol and of the studio opening. So that being said, next week's show is going to be live from my home studio where I am right now. However, for the first time, drum roll, we're going to do a call-in show. So I will be the host and the guest. And I am going to open myself up to your questions. We will be advertising a theme ahead of time and taking your calls live. So for those of you that are accustomed to listening after the fact, please mark your calendars for 3 p.m. Pacific time. Of course, that's 4 p.m. Mountain time, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, and whatever else comes after that, because for 50 minutes, at the top of the hour to 50 minutes after, we will be taking your calls live on the show. This week's show is sponsored by yours truly, Wine on the Vine, W-H-I-N-E, onthevine.com. I will be posting a blog after today's show that I wrote a few years ago and was formerly published on my Lisa Mayaka site about today's theme. So May is a big month, right? There are all kinds of like national celebrations and contemplations, including Mental Health Awareness Month. Hello and thank you. Of course, the 4th was Star Wars Day for some of us who, honored it with memes such as May the 4th be with you. And for those of you, though, that are from Northeastern Ohio or have an affiliation with Kent State University, as many of us do, it was also a really somber remembrance of what happened there about 5 decades ago on that date. Of course, then there was Cinco de Mayo and Bill and Melinda Gates announced their divorce. And at the end of the month, there's Memorial Day. So this is just a huge month of happenings. But perhaps the most well-known or celebrated across the board is that which occurs this Sunday. And not all of us love this holiday. This Sunday is the date that here in the United States of America, Mother's Day is celebrated. And I have themed today's show, The Force of Motherhood Be With You All. And so motherhood conjures up all kinds of notions for us. Right? For those of us who have very keen memories of or deep connectedness and meaningful relationship with our biological natural mothers, this is a warmly celebrated, embraced day where she gets flowers and honored and coffee and toast in bed and, you know, whatever she wants. For those of us with dearly departed mothers who have found their way to the other side too soon or at their time, this is a time of of deep remembrance, sometimes painful memory, loss, grief, all of that. For those of us who wanted to be mothers and couldn't, it has a whole other ball of fuck associated. For those of us who are mothers long before our time and don't necessarily have the best relationships with our children at any given day, it's difficult to navigate. But I'm inviting you today to think more broadly. And men and boys and gals who aren't moms, don't turn off the show. Please do not walk away, because this is not about being a mom. This is about the force of motherhood that really does encompass us all. Let me give you some proof, okay? So Mitch Albom, one of the most published authors on the planet today, said, "Behind all your stories is always your mother's story, because hers is where yours began." Behind all our stories is our mother's story, because hers is where ours began. Whether we knew her or not, whether we were raised by her or not, at some point in our prenatal existence, we were carried by her. And whatever that conjures up for us is okay. Beyond that scope, we are all on a daily basis encompassed, embraced, and nurtured by Mother Nature and Mother Earth. I wake up every morning at 5:15 a.m. to more birds than I could possibly ever count, singing louder songs than I think all the angels of heaven sing. And they literally wake me up. I do not need an alarm. If my windows open, the songbirds wake me. Mother Nature just has its way of gathering us under her proverbial wing and carrying us. So I don't think there is a single soul on the planet that is not somehow contained by a maternal component. And so that's what today's conversation is about. Now, that being said, I am dedicating today's show to my mother, Julie. I'm the oldest of 8 children, and I don't need to say anything more than that to know that she ought to be honored, respected, adored, and worshiped. And I am just going to dedicate today's show to her. But our conversation today is not with her. It is with another mother, grandmother, a gal I've mentioned on the show before, because I happen to wear her jewelry often. And today I am wearing a necklace and a bracelet and a ring by Rita. And Rita is joining us today by phone from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Rita.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, Lisa, that was beautiful. I'm like crying. I'm like, this is, everything you said is so beautiful. And if I can just start with a little short story, when you just said that about men don't hang up, men, please don't hang up. Because you know what? I've got a nephew who raised his son at the age of 2 all the way up to he was 18 years old, and he was the mama and he was the daddy, and I want to cry.
Nurturing component that is so often only affiliated with or attributed to female or mother is not, it's not the point. There are many, 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 many males that are carrying both roles and doing the this piece. And Rita, I want to warn the audience before you and I really get into it, okay? I have tissues, a brand new box open and sitting immediately to my right. I have poured a glass of Sauvignon Blanc, not surprising. And I hear that you, Rita, have got a margarita nearby.
Absolutely.
And so there might be some moments today. Listen, Rita, I was asked about 3 hours ago by a gentleman. I was asked this question. What is the most happy moment, or no, what's the most, yeah, happy moment that's happened to you this week? And I sat back and I said, last night on the telephone, I connected with my guest for today's show. And in that hour, I've met you in person once. I've talked to you on the phone only once. Other than that, we have only corresponded by text messaging and mailing jewelry back and forth. I told him, I said, I had a connected conversation where I learned from another woman and I wept in said connection.
I'm about to cry because there was healing last night, and we'll hear my story in a minute. But Lisa helped me to heal my story, and we'll hear more later. Lisa's awesome.
Well, Rita, tell me your story. Start wherever you want.
Well, first of all, I'm thank you for having me. I am sitting here looking at the Sandia Mountains in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With if you're in New Mexico, you've got to have that glass of margarita. So this is like awesome. Yeah. So thank you. I wish you were here with me. You know, I think I showed you all the bottles of margarita I had ready to go. I send you a text with them, but this is so awesome for me. And this is, I'm a country girl talking on the phone, doing this interview, and I'm scared shitless. Right.
So I love it.
Let me tell you. So let me tell you, the mountains here, the Sandia Mountains are beautiful, but there's nothing more beautiful than Northern New Mexico. It is truly the land of enchantment. And I was raised 20 miles out of Las Vegas, New Mexico. And I hope that everybody can just maybe do a little research and find out what Las Vegas, New Mexico was really Las Vegas, Nevada at one time. It was the booming town. There's just so much history there. But my history is that I was raised with grandparents. I was 9 months old when I went to live with my grandparents. It was the most beautiful life I could ever have. I was an only child, spoiled as heck. I don't think I ever got punished for anything, and I never had to do a thing. So I had the most wonderful life. I can tell you, there's no regrets in my life. There's no regrets.
Rita, you say you were an only child, but that's not really true, is it?
No, it's not. No, it isn't. It isn't. And this is where the story really begins, I think, because for me, I actually have my birth mom who is still alive, and she's 93. And so we have built a connection, and Lisa has helped me through this healing, because when I was 9 months old, I moved into my grandmother's house. There was five of us, four sisters and a brother. I was the baby. And like I told Lisa, I'm really not sure what happened, but the story goes that, you know, at that time, my parents, my birth parents lived in Denver, and the smog was really bad and I could never breathe. So they told my parents, you need to take her to where there's clean air. And so my mom decided that the clean air was down in the country where there was clean air. Well, unfortunately, there really wasn't all the time clean air, because where I was raised in the middle of nowhere, there was no bed water, no toilet. My grandmother used a ring washer to wash her clothes. And she would, in the wintertime was the best time, because she would hang the sheets in the wintertime outside in the clothesline, and they would freeze. I mean, they were frozen. It was like so cool because they were like stiff. And so at night in the wintertime, my grandfather would build a fire in the wood stove. I would sleep on the couch in the living room. You know, it was weird. But anyway, he would build a fire, and so the house would keep warm by putting coal in there, in the wood stove. So really, it wasn't really clean air because it was coal. But, you know, I didn't care. I mean, what did I know?
What did you know? I mean, you did not know what life would have been like with those older siblings. You didn't know what privilege would have been. And to you, this was beautiful, idyllic, lacking nothing, spoiled. So to me, what I hear is that you got quite a bit of attention and nurturing from your two caregivers.
Absolutely. There was just no doubt about it. I mean, I was so spoiled. It was just always about me. I was the little queenie in the house. I remember my grandfather, and I'll tell you what's going on with that story in a minute, but my grandfather would bring the horses, you know, into the yard because he was a ranch foreman. And so I would tell him, I want to ride a horse. And of course he wouldn't let me because, you know, Miss Preemie here would get, she might fall off and get hurt. She would get hurt. So he would say, go over there and ride a goat, because we had goats.
I'd be on the goat.
And of course the goat would butt me off and he'd start laughing. He thought that was hilarious.
Go ride a goat?
Yeah, because he didn't want me to get on the horse because I would, you know, get hurt. So he'd say, go get on the goat. And the goat would throw me off. And he thought that was hilarious because, you know, I didn't have far to fall, you know. So, yeah, I just received so much. But what I want to say about my mom is that my mom was always in my life, my birth mom. She was always in my life.
Okay.
I remember her going to the ranch, and that's what it was called where I live, the ranch. And she would bring groceries to us because, you know, we didn't go to town. We didn't have a car, so we didn't go into town 20 miles into Las Vegas, New Mexico to get groceries. So she would bring groceries to me. And I remember my mom saying, you know, you need to call your mom, you know, for your birthday as I got older. And we had a phone. This was when I was a teenager, when we finally got a phone. And I said, No. You're my mom. I don't want to be dad. But what happened, the most beautiful thing that happened to me was I was 12 years old. My grandfather worked he was a ranch foreman for a retired lawyer who had a big farm with a ranch with lots of cattle. And my grandfather was the foreman. So one day I was 12 years old and the lawyer says, why don't you just adopt her legally? It was the most fascinating thing, Lisa, in my life, because I got to change my name from Padilla to Gomez, which is, I carry that name because it meant so much to me. It meant that they loved me even more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm like, I don't know. It was the most, to me, that was the highlight of my youth when I was little, because I was only 12 years old. But I just remember writing in the report card. I don't know if you remember those days when you had report cards.
I do. I remember my children probably don't.
Yeah.
But I do.
I remember scratching off the last name Padilla and then putting Gomez. So that's really my adopted name.
Last week I had a gal on the show and we talked about identity in the context of identifying ourselves so much as mothers for so long, because that was kind of the only gig we had and didn't figure out who else we were until later. But what I hear right now is this identity piece for you that happened as you're a preteen about to come to womanhood was wrapped up very concretely with this adoption. So you got the last name of your grandparents.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
And then
what
did that look like in relationship with your natural, your birth siblings and your birth parents?
Well, I can tell you right now that my mom, and this is where the healing came in for me, Lisa, last night when we talked for an hour, because my mother, who's still alive, she's 93. I have her to come over. You know, she comes over to the house. She's fascinating. I tell everybody, if you ever want to take care of my mom, she's the easiest person. This is what my mom wants. First of all, you don't make her take a nap. Second, you give her a puzzle. And before she goes to bed, you give her that glass of wine. That's all she needs. And she's like this most content person in the world. So I have her over. We sit outside in our patio. We drink our wine. But then there's that moment. That moment,
and what's
Lisa,
that moment, Rita? She tells, tell me about that moment.
She starts to cry. And she says she regrets what she did, was giving me up for adoption. She said my dad was not happy. They would argue back and forth. I don't know why you did this. Why would you give her up? And so she just cries. I mean, she's just beside herself. And I think I told you last night, and he said, I'm constantly telling her, Mom, please do not go to your grave. You know, feeling so bad that you did this. I had the best life ever. So how could you regret it? And so she has this moment of, it comes up every time, Lisa. But thanks to you. Tell me what you said. Tell me what you said.
So Rita and I had a bit of discussion around perspective taking. And, Rita's perspective is one where she's reconciled all that happened to her. If there was forgiveness that you had to grant your mother, you've given it to her. You don't have any necessarily regret about not being raised by her. Your perspective is one of, you know, complete full circle healing. You embrace who you are with your mother now. All is well with your soul. But your mom sits in a really different position. And even at 93, time has not healed all her wounds. She still carries the angst and the pain of having surrendered one of her own children and having had somebody else take care of them and raise them and do what would have been her natural role to do for all kinds of reasons. And so as much as Rita, you know, loves, adores, has no ill will about anything that happened, her mom's perspective is clearly different. And so Rita and I talked a bit, and this is kind of, I'm third personing this to our audience. We talked a little bit about just being with somebody in their pain versus trying to fix it and make it okay. And Rita and I are both natural by default fixers. We want to make everything okay for everybody. But really seeing and being with somebody and granting them the fullness of their personhood and current expression is simply sitting with them and acknowledging, oh my God, how much that must have hurt your soul, instead of reaching for a sentence that you think fixes it for them, because they really don't. They can't fix it. I can't go back and undo the harm I caused some of my children by choices I made. I wish more than anything I could. And, you know, I have beautiful souls such as yours that say things to me like, you know, Mom, we've grown past it. But yeah, I'm so glad for them. But I carry the weight and the burden and the pain and the regret of choices I made. And what I desire more than anything is to be seen and validated in that hurt. And I think when we can do that one with the other, it really does give that other human permission to just be. And I'm wondering if on this Mother's Day, Rita, you and I can validate, you and I were just, we were just there for each other last night. And the Absolutely. Gift that I want to give you to your mom and me to my mom and my mom to me and to the universe is just figuring out how to just be. Because there's a lot of stories out there.
I cried with you last night.
Say it again. So there's a delay, audience.
I cried. I'm bobbing my head the whole time you're talking. I'm bobbing my head and I'm going, I mean, it was just a soul. I was searching for that because like you said, I want to fix it. I want to fix it. I want to, please let it go. Please let it go. But that was such a healing. So next time I have her in my patio late at night with the lights surrounding my patio, Lisa was beautiful, because I never looked at it that way. To give her, you said to me, grab her hand and validate what she's saying. And I was like, no, because then she's going to feel like it's her fault. Sorry. Hold on.
It's okay. I think just a little crying here.
I think we think when we
validate somebody where they're at, that we're agreeing with their perspective. That's not what we're doing. We can hold our own perspective and sit with somebody else in their perspective and their pain at the same time. And that's where power for healing lies, right? I mean, you and I are both absolutely really strong-willed human beings, Rita. I mean, someone tells us no and we go, oh yeah, let me show you. Yeah. I mean, they put you absolutely on a goat and you figured out how to ride a goat.
Which I didn't, but that was okay, because that's what my grandfather told me to do.
Right.
That was awesome. It was just hilarious. But, you know, if we can move on from there, and now we can talk about me being a mom. I would like to share my story about, first of all, you know, I married my high school sweetheart right after high school. Okay, I married him.
49
a year later,
years ago?
We had this, go ahead.
49 years ago?
Go ahead. 49. We've been married 49 years. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. My husband would say, oh, it just feels like maybe 2 years. And I said, whatever, honey. You know that's not what it feels like. But anyway, so I married my high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. A year later, we had my beautiful son. And as it turned out, I had 2 pregnancies after that. So there was a mourning for those 2 babies. And the best thing that I think we did, my husband and I, we named those babies. I was 3 months pregnant with both of them, and I lost both of them after my son. We named one of them Maria Elena, which is Mary Ellen. The second one we named Gabriel. We did not know, you know, if they were female or male. We didn't know. But we named them because they were real to me. And I was so sick, Lisa. Oh, my. I was in and out of the hospital. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. So I would get dehydrated. So they put me in the hospital for a week. I'd get, you know, they give me all the IVs, and I'd go home, and I wouldn't eat. It was, you know, my 3 pregnancies were bad. So I called my only son a miracle baby. So now I have a baby, Lisa, and I don't know what to do with him. I never took care of babies. I mean, I never took care of kids. I didn't know how to do this. And I think I said that last night, that, you know, I was not a perfect parent. And I truly wish that I would have known back then what we call in our home the crazy pill. I wish I would have had medication to stop the anger, to stop the depression, which I went through all the years and all these years. And I didn't know. I didn't know there was such medication.
Well, those conversations there was no Mental Health Awareness Month in May in that era. I think it's ironic and beautiful that mental health awareness is paired with Mother's Day month, because the two have so much to do with the other. And so, you know, what did that look like for you, and how did you manage that?
It was, you know what, I just kind of went through the whole emotion, but going back to getting married so young in a child, and I really lost my identity. And I really try to tell my daughter-in-law, who's really my daughter, who's married to my son. And I'm so happy when she says, you know what, I went bowling with the girls. Thank God. You know, I've got 5 grandkids.
My only child had five kids, and he married an only child. And so they had five kids. All of them were planned. All of them were planned. All of them were wanted. And when my daughter-in-law says to me, oh, I went bowling with girls, and I said, thank God. Find who you are. You're just not a mom. You're just not a wife. You are something else, not just that. And for me, that was it. Lisa, let me tell you, I can remember. I went to work as a secretary. I worked 44 years as a secretary. Not happy, never liked it, but I did it for 44 years. Can you believe, without a crazy pill? So, but I did it because I had no choice. But I can remember my husband telling me not to get a driver's license. Well, thank God I had the withal to say, excuse me, I'm going to go get my driver's license. You're not going to drive me all over the place. Again, I thank God that I thought about it and said, no. I am driving. I am going to learn how to drive. Because remember, we didn't have a car.
How motivated you to do that? How did you, I mean, where'd that come from? Riding the goat?
That was just power and control. And he will tell you now, immaturity. And he's right. And he tells me,
really
please
brave.
Forgive me. That was totally immaturity on my part. And a lot of it, look how young we were. We were stupid. What were we thinking, Lisa? You should see our wedding photo. I looked like I was 16, and you know, and he was going on 15. I mean, how stupid was that? But we did it. I survived that. I learned to drive. I went one day at lunchtime during my lunch. I went to the MVD and I said, give me a license. Give me the driving test. Give me I passed everything and I got my driver's license. And I think he was kind of like,
Importantly, your son survived all of this.
You know, and he did. And let me tell you, I need to brag on him, because even though I say I was the worst mother ever, I was not a good parent. And I like to use the phrase, I was not a perfect mother, and I know nobody is. I get that. But I was not the best mom because I was angry, I was depressed, I was, you know, was never happy. And so he survived, and he will always tell me, Mom, I turned out okay, don't you think? I'm really a good person in society. Well, let me tell you the kind of kid I raised. He moved out the minute he graduated from high school. He moved out of the house. He moved out. He had a job that was still way back then. It was like a telephone operator. You would get phone numbers. You would ask for information. This kid put himself through college. He would work day shifts, night shifts, in between shifts, and he put himself through college. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of him. I am so proud. So my sister, who I'm really close to, she says, well, darn it, you must have done something right.
Is that how she says it?
I think I did. I love my son. Him and I are so much alike. We get on each other's nerves because we're so much alike.
I didn't invite him to the show on purpose because I wanted to hear your take. But if he were here, what would he say about you?
He would say that I wasn't that horrible parent. That I wasn't as bad as I punished myself, and because I've done this. This is him and I have this relationship where we talk everything out, and so I would tell him after he moved out. You know, I said, it's my fault. You moved out. You hated us. You didn't love us, and you wanted to move, and so he would say, but that wasn't it at all. You raised me to be this independent person. And he would say, why do you think you were so bad? That's what he would say to me. Because you weren't.
Does he know, Rita, does he know your story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we talk about everything. Okay, Lisa, let's just go down to the facts here. Let's just talk.
Look out.
In my house, we talk about everything. We talk with the adult kids. Everything.
Everything?
Sex is not off limits. I am telling you now, we need to talk about sex because, like I tell my kids, you guys like to cook. All my kids can cook really good. And this is what I tell them. You know what? Cooking is an energy. Sex is an energy. And my grandkids all roll their eyes. And they
Y'all
go, oh,
here.
My gosh.
From Rita.
Must we talk about
energy.
This?
Like cooking is an energy.
Yeah, cooking is an energy. You can't cook by a recipe. You can, but it's not going to taste the same. Everything is an energy in life. And my son, I've taught my son that. I've taught him that. I've said, you know what, honey, everything is an energy. The way you do your job is an energy. How much do you put into it? It's an energy. It is. Everything in life is an energy. How you do things, how we wash clothes, the simple things in life. Well, let's get to my jewelry.
Rita,
How do I do this?
I don't know if we should disclose this fact, but Rita's grandson and my daughter are friends, and that is how we are connected. And so if you were to interrogate, and I'm sure you've heard this out of her mouth very loudly and very clearly, I did not give good energy toward cooking when raising my kids. The worst hour of the day, every day, the best hour was tucking them in at night or getting them up in the morning. The worst hour of any given day was at 4 p.m. when I went, oh, shit, I don't know what's for dinner. Because I didn't like to cook. I wasn't taught how to cook. And their dad was often out of town and he was the cook in the house. And my kids would look at me at dinner time and look up and go, Mom, it's missing the love. So if they were in your house,
they
would say,
macaroni and cheese was perfect. They never starved.
Well,
right.
Clearly,
they never
all alive, but, you know, this is why grandma ranks like way up here and mom's like way down here because basic needs, right? Food.
Yeah.
Put the love in the food, man. That shit matters.
Well, the thing that happened, you know, with my five grandkids is that my son also has taught them to be independent. And all my grandkids are independent. They can cook, clean, do everything by themselves. And my son says, darn right, you better get in that kitchen and you better cook your own food. You know what? We're not here to cook for you. You guys can cook. And all my grandkids, they cook with energy. You know, they do. But I've got to brag a little bit about, you know, the friendship that you have.
Are we talking about cooking?
With Lee. Go ahead.
Are we talking about cooking?
No, we moved on. Sorry. I wanted to brag a little bit about, you know, my Micah Diego, who is the second child, my second grandchild, who is friends with Miranda. And he's really a lovable child. I mean, he really is. First of all, to tell you, when my grandkids were born, I told my daughter-in-law, I will work part-time and you will work part-time and I will take care of my grandkids. They will not go to a nursery. They will not go to some stranger's houses. I am taking care of them. So I took care of all five of them. I did. And then they moved to Colorado and I'm still in Albuquerque. But a little story with my Micah Diego, who is friends with Miranda. So he learned to speak really early in life. I mean, this kid. So I have him in the back seat. He's in the car seat and we're driving and he's in the back seat. And so I says, Micah, you know, and I'm talking and talking, because I'm a talker, as you can tell. So I'm talking to him and I tell him, I said, Micah, are you listening? And he says to me, I'm not loving you today. And I said, I cracked up and I said, what?
And so,
when I call him now, Lisa, I will call him because they never answer my texts, these grown up grandkids, you know? I text them all the time. They never answer me. So I'll call.
I
said, Micah, are you loving me today? And he says, always. I never miss the moment, which is another thing we have is moments in our lives, Lisa.
Moment. Yeah. That's, say more about that, Rita. I think that's really powerful.
Well, okay. Well, let me tell you, 45 years of marriage has not been glorious. Okay. Let's be truthful. It's been a lot of damn work, a lot of damn work. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I wouldn't have married anyone else. Okay. I just wouldn't have. So one day I'm just sitting down at the breakfast table and I'm sitting there and I asked my husband, I said, do you love me? I didn't miss the moment. He said this with so much, I mean, from the depths of his heart. And he looked at me and he said, very much. I didn't miss it, Lisa. I didn't miss it. I want to cry. I didn't miss the moment. I did not miss the moment. And that's when I say there's moments in our lives. Don't miss those moments. Don't miss them. Because that's all we have in life is moments.
Yeah, it's so true. And ahead of Mother's Day, kind of back to the theme of this show, you know, there are moments that I agree with you that carry us one way or the other. Like we can ruminate over some bad moments, but we have all the power to hold precious those other dear connecting moments. And I know I have like a habit I do now. I call my mom once a week on Fridays and just check in and honor her with that call because I know she looks forward to it so much. But I have a choice even in that habit. I have a choice whether to just do it because it's, you know, something I signed on to do of my own discipline. Or I have a choice like you did with your husband at the table to be very present and mindful and pay attention and learn about my mom's story. You know, I was a mom like you at 19, had 5 kids by 27. My life was so busy that I didn't understand or learn mindfulness for a long time. And now that I'm older and my life is quieted down and my mother's getting older and thank God she's still with us, you know, I realize I don't even know my mom's story. And yet I've carried it as a part and parcel of my own soul, lo, these 5 decades. And I think that's where you and I really hit it last night. And what you're saying with your husband, like you could spend all day long complaining and bitching because there's a long list. But you didn't miss it. You took that moment to look deep into his eyes and invite a powerful connection.
Yeah, I didn't miss the moment, Lisa. And that's what I am with my grandkids. I don't miss the moment with them. And I just stay stuck with the moments. Like one of the things my friend said last night, yesterday I was with her. That's another story I think we shared about drinking where we shouldn't be drinking, but that's another story. She's a very good friend of mine. That's a great story. But anyway, so she was saying her kids live in Colorado and she says, I hate for them to come over because then it's so sad when they leave. I said, but you know what? I don't think of when they're leaving. I think of when they're getting here and I'm just not missing that moment. I won't miss the moment that they're here. I mean, I think we said that last night. I treasure my grandkids. I'm trying to make up for the fact of how I felt like I was just such a horrible mother. So I'm really trying to be attuned to their lives and what they're doing. And that's what I do with them when they're here. you know, when one of the Rita,
I don't know that there's any greater gift you can give to the world. You put yourself back into your higher self, you rise within, and whatever it was we did in the past, you know, we all were a product of a product, and we all made the choices we thought were best at the time when we made them. And so the path forward, of course, hopefully encompasses a much broader range of choices because we've learned so much. And now you can offer that gift, and you do it every day in every way to your children. And you've also found your own path toward creating this beautiful jewelry and sharing it with ladies like me. Tell me how you got there in the last few minutes we have together.
Yes, that was just, you know, that was just the fun part for me as I got older. I thank God for YouTube, and I started watching all these people making fused glass, and they would fire them in the kiln. But I want to go back again to my husband, who bought me my first kiln. It was for my birthday. It was just a tabletop kiln, and this is how he encouraged me. My husband, my whole family encourages me. Trust me, my family encourages me. You know, I mean, right now I have my jewelry down in Old Town in Albuquerque, which is, you know, it is a tourist place, you know, so I have it in a shop, and it's in Colorado. It's in Elizabeth, Colorado. And so I have been in the shop right there. But the way that came about for me is that I had this encouragement from my husband. So I helped him to get 4 degrees, because he's got, I don't know how many degrees he has. You know, he likes to go to school. So I helped him to do that. But then when I found my passion, which was, I think he kind of noticed, well, you know, and I just started making little pieces. And so for my birthday, he bought me this little 4x4 little kiln. And I was like thrilled, because I was making it, my jewelry, in the microwave. I don't know if you knew that you can make one piece in the microwave, and that's how I started. So then he tells me, well, I'm going to buy you this for your birthday. Well, you know, go 3 years later and he buys me this bigger kiln. You know, it's a little bigger, but I can still put it on my desk in my studio. So that's been an encouragement for me, that he looks at it as like, now it's my turn. After 49 years of marriage, it's my turn. And he's a very religious man. And one of the things he's studying to become a priest in the Greek Orthodox Church. And of course, I've always supported him through that. And so he's got a master's in divinity. And so he right now is hoping to get ordained. We don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we're hoping. And so I have encouraged him. And every time he writes a homily, and his homilies are beautiful. So every time he writes a homily, he says, I need for you to critique it, because I need the spirit to talk to me. I said, oh, okay. And that's what he tells to me. You are the spirit that tells me, am I doing this? Am I writing this correct? Am I saying what I want to say to my audience?
Rita, so I love that.
Go ahead.
Thank you for sharing that. That is the force. That's that maternal force. That's that connecting force. That's that universal Mother Nature encompassing, you know, a nurturing peace that we all need. Your husband needs that from you to kind of affirm the creation that he's putting out there into the congregation. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
And your jewelry encompasses my body today and finished the whole look. So thank you for being you all these years.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you for being with me today and sharing this wonderful, wonderful story.
Well, I really appreciate you buying all my jewelry, you know, and showing it off. I appreciate that. But more than that, giving me the courage to say, I love it. I love the jewelry, and you're doing a good job, and I really like it. So that just encourages me. And again, I have to go back to my childhood, this little country girl raised in the middle of nowhere. Wow, she's got her jewelry in California. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. That's
Los Angeles.
Thank you so
you come a long
Thank
way,
you.
Baby. Would you tell your mom hello when you pour her a glass of wine next time she's on your porch?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And give
and
my love
to
all
now.
Of your family I that I know is in the background and there to support and surround you the rest of today.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
And thank you so much again for last night. And thank you for letting me be on.
How do we get a hold of your jewelry? Real quick. What do you have a website?
I do, and I don't have it right in front of me, but if you get on Facebook, you know,
Used Glass Jewelry by Rita L.
Yeah. Yes.
Used Glass Jewelry by Rita L. And she's on Instagram at glass_jewelry_.
Got it. You got it.
All right.
You got it.
I'll kick it back to the studio. Thank you, Rita. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
I hope to get together. Happy Mother's Day, and I hope to get together sometime soon.
I do too.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
You're listening to Wine on the Vine with Lisa Mayaka, only on LA Talk Radio.